University Avenue Bar, story out of Care 11, right? University Avenue bars feel targeted by stadium plans. St. Paul bars have concerns. Dean, we're going to go with, we've been working on this one for a bit here.
We've been, spent all break working on this.
Dean.
Begouts.
Begouts?
What?
Dean Begouts? Begouts?
I'm going to go with Bigouettes.
Dean.
Bigouette.
I think we go with
Dean B.
I think we go with Dean B.
Yeah.
Big Dean.
I've just received confirmation. It's Bigouette.
Bigouette?
Yep.
Good. All right. So Dean Bigouette, St. Paul Bar Hot Rods, has been around for a long time. I consider this a neighborhood bar, said Dean. After 50 years, we've kept changing with the neighborhood. And we hope to keep changing with the neighborhood. His father opened it up 48 years ago.
Right.
The biggest change will be the impending construction of the MLS soccer stadium right across the street. Dean is questioning, however, where he fits with the city of St. Paul's development plans.
Central planning. You find yourself on the outs of some government bureaucrat with a vision. You're in trouble.
I think they would like to redevelop this whole block if they had their way, said Dean.
Yep, and Hot Rods is apparently not part of that plan.
Well, yeah, this is where it takes a turn. So in September of 2015, shortly after the MLS officials visited the stadium site with the city leaders, Hot Rods received a violation.
Coincidence, maybe.
According to the notice, an undercover officer bought a beer, then took it with him out the back door into an alley, resulting in a fine and other conditions slapped on Hot Rods.
Because this guy bought a beer and then walked out with it. Now, granted, you're not supposed to do that. You know, granted, you're supposed to have some controls in place to prevent that from happening, but...
Is a sign sufficient for that?
Who was harmed in this?
Right. Right. Nobody.
No.
A month later...
This stinks.
And there's one point of details when it comes to Hot Rod that's relevant here. A month later, right after city officials made the stadium site official, Hot Rods then received another violation. This time it happened after officers say a man with a warrant walked out with a drink. They arrested him and slapped Hot Rods with another fine. After no prior liquor violations in 48 years.
That's key.
Very key.
All right. If you have a bar that there are issues around it, you know, there's some bad behavior. Well, I forget the name of that place up in Maple Grove.
Right, the city shut down. Right. Stargate.
That they kept having issue after issue after issue. There was violence. So if you've got, you know, a place that's had repeated issues that is causing problems in the neighborhood, then yeah, maybe the city wants to focus a little attention on them, and maybe they do want to maybe set up some sting type operations. But it doesn't appear that that was the case here. 48 years with no prior liquor violations. Suddenly, they get some idea of central planning and some vision for the block due to the MLS stadium coming in, and now they're getting two, one after the other.
Yeah, another bar owner on University Avenue said the same thing was happening at the Trend Bar. That owner says it does feel like they were targeting some of us that have been here a long time. According to the stats from St. Paul's licensing department, the number of liquor violations handed out in 2015 was average, 25 violations compared to 24 in 2014 and 27 in 2016. But again, Drew, what you said was, I think, the relevant point, and that is, okay, where were the majority of those violations taking place? Were those violations taking place at businesses that were having consistent problems, not one like Hot Rods that apparently hadn't had a violation in a long time?
Yeah, what the concern appears to be is they've got this stadium coming in for the MLS. They want this block to look a certain way, and these bars don't fit in with their vision, so they're going to make their lives a little difficult until maybe they get moved out. This story was brought to our attention by a friend of the show, lawyer extraordinaire Jeffrey O'Brien. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yes! Now, the city did deny that University and the Snelling establishments were singled out, writing in a statement that the compliance checks had nothing to do with the stadium. All the licensees know they are subject to routine checks. So this seems like a situation where even if they were being targeted, it would seem to be rather difficult to get to the truth of what's really happening here.
Yeah, you know, guys, it is difficult, and I've been representing Dean on this, and we've had our battles with the city, and we've even had an administrative hearing on one of the violations, and still, you know, they keep pounding on. They're coming back and saying they've got more violations. And the way that this works in the city of St. Paul with their liquor license violations is they escalate. So if you know, one is a $500 fine, the second one is a $1,000 fine, the third one is a suspension of the license, and finally the fourth one is a revocation. So there's not too much if the city wants to put conditions on a license and basically scrutinize a licensee, they can pretty quickly find four violations, whether it be major or minor, and get them to their four and revoke their license. And of course, then when you can't operate your business there, then maybe when the port authority comes in and makes you an offer you can't refuse for your property, then they've got it. I mean, the thing is that cities do this because, after the big Supreme Court case, Kelo, years ago, where legislatures then reacted by curbing how local governments could use eminent domain to take property for private redevelopment. They narrowed the scope of what the public use. This is how cities have to get property. They can't just take it anymore if they want it. So that block, the block that's north of the Green Line, and I think it's ridiculous to think the city doesn't want to redevelop. When you look at what the redevelopment plan is now, they're already going to redo all of Midway Shopping Center. They've got the Green Line running right down University Avenue. It seems very conceivable if they would want to go across University and have a redeveloped area on both sides of that Green Line.
How much recourse does the business have? I mean,
that's the problem with, that's the tricky part of being in a heavily regulated industry involved, such as anything involving alcohol is you have to answer to your licensing officials, and there's so much of this. And it's not just the city of St. Paul and their bar owners. It's so much at the state level of everything. All these businesses that have to be issued a license by the government. When these executive agencies or bureaucrats deciding how they want to interpret the laws and deciding what's a violation, what's not, that's really hard to operate in.
Is this one of those instances where the system's almost rigged to set up if a government agency makes up its mind that it wants to push out a certain business, there are enough regulations and rules in place that nearly every business is probably violating one or two. So it's just a matter of, all right, now this week we're going to focus our attention on this particular area or this particular business and this particular regulation, and we have no doubt that we'll be able to go in and find certain violations enough to warrant taking action.
Well, Drew, that's the heart of central planning. It's exactly right. That's what they've got, enough mechanisms in place, enough controls in place, where if they flip a switch, they can change something. And, the story didn't go into detail about the license conditions, but one of the conditions, honestly, is keeping the street, the sidewalk stuffed in front of the bar. So Dean hit a cigarette butt stuffed the sidewalk in front of his bar.
Repeat that. Your phone broke up there, Jeff.
Huh?
Your phone broke up for a moment. Can you repeat the conditions that they have to keep in front of their bar?
One of the conditions is he has to keep the sidewalk swept in front of the bar. So if he doesn't keep the cigarette butts clean, people coming off the train, that could give another violation.
Right. And depending on, the interval with which he sweeps it, if a city inspector happens to come by, 2 hours after it's been swept, and he hasn't gone around to sweeping it again, they could find a violation there. It's just insidious. It's just insidious and wrong.
Right. I mean, I understand, when you do the sting operations, underage, people,
sure,
bar for somebody underage or something like that, that's one thing. But I don't fault the St. Paul police. They're just following orders if they're told to go run an operation by whoever. It's when you have someone walking out, an undercover officer grabbing a beer and walking out, or the second violation, they don't go much in the story, but they were sitting in the alley waiting for somebody. So it's like when you're staking out the place, trying to catch violation, I think tax dollars are better spent directing them someplace else.
Yeah, like I said, if this were an instance where you genuinely had a bar that was a trouble spot, because that does happen and those do exist, right? You got a bar that doesn't do a really good job of policing its customers and sort of doesn't do a good job of making sure that nobody overconsumes and it gets rowdy and you have genuine problems. Those are the types of instances where I think it's warranted for the city to start doing some of these operations and setting up some stings and using these regulations to try to curb their behavior. But when it's just a matter of, you know what, we want to redevelop this area because we got a soccer stadium coming in. So, you know, we know you've been around 48 years and you've been a great resident and a great contributor to the economy in the area. You've employed a bunch of people, you've paid a bunch of taxes, but we're done with you now. That's just wrong.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, and to the extent that the area has had an increase in crime over the past few years that would justify some sort of monitoring, the increase in crime would have been a result by the Met Council putting the green line right in front of the bar and being able to have, you know, the other, you know, the bad element being able to get into the area. So
why can't we do some sting operations on the Met Council?
Right.
I don't want to even think how much you'd find there.
Jeff O'Brien, a lawyer extraordinaire, friend of the show, thank you so much for bringing this story to our attention and for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
You know, there should be like a level of trust. You know, usually I'll default to a business has to follow the rules, right? And they do. You decided to open up this business. When opening up this business, you knew the regulations that were in place. You knew the rules that you had to follow, and you should adhere by those rules. But there should be a level of understanding. And Drew, I don't want to repeat what you said, but you were on the right track, and that is, under normal circumstances, if little minor things happen and they don't cause any harm to anybody, then there should be a level of trust to say, we're not going to bother with those. You have a good establishment. You're great for the community. You provide much-needed tax revenue. These are only to be implemented and used in extreme circumstances. And I wish there was some protection that could be in place when it seems pretty clear that they're starting to get targeted. The only thing that you can do is, moving forward, make sure that when you see new legislation moving through, we actually have a story about that coming up, the wage standards and the sick leave practices and all that those entail, you know, think about the impact that's going to have on businesses as well. What would it take for the city to go and shut somebody down based off of new rules that are being implemented? And when these things get put in place, you go, oh, that's a good idea. You know, you make sure people can't walk out of the establishment with beer.
Right.
You know, got to keep our city clean. Got to make sure you sweep up in the front. Those are good. Those are all things that we should be supporting. But nobody stops to think, okay, what if the situation were to arise where the government decided, the leadership decided that they wanted to take action?
Yep.
Even not above board against a business,
right,
and all they had to do was launch 5 or 6 sting operations to catch a business that's been completely fine.
Yep.
And you can shut them down.
Yep. They're all tools that sound benign. They sound like a good idea. Yeah, you know, and maybe some of them were enacted with the best of intentions, but when you combine them all together, it's that over-regulatory state that turns every business and every individual at some point or another into a criminal.
Yeah, I mean, you only have a couple of scenarios here. One is that the bars end up stepping up whatever that they can do on their own to try to keep these types of things from happening, which just means you're probably going to have to hire more staff,
yeah,
a permanent street sweeper, somebody at both doors to make sure they check, to make sure nobody's walking out, which is just going to cost them money. Or they're just going to get to the harass to the point where either they get too many violations or they just decide to move because they don't want to deal with it.
And that appears to be what at least some factions within the city of St. Paul want. That appears to be the direction that they're going, is that they're just, and like Jeff said when he called in, you know, what recourse does a business have? Sadly, not much.
Yeah.
You know, all these regulations are in place, and if you violate just one of them at the wrong time and the wrong person happens to be in there, you could, you know, for your 48, 49 years of being a good and viable business in that area comes to a halt.
This is why I'm okay with a government shutdown. Just saying.
Shut it down.